It's called wokeness, and it's a plague. A plague that places tyranny before freedom, criminality over virtue, and hate over love. It's a plague that threatens what millions have died for.
Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be.
We will fight it. We will defeat it. We will eradicate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
introducing the least woke man in America.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Least Woke Man in America. And it's been a long time. At some point, we'll talk about why. But for right now, there's just so much to talk about in the world of politics, foreign policy, whatever you want to call it, just a mess that keeps growing. And I don't even need to go into it right away. You know about Biden and this report that came out, the reason he's not going to get in trouble for keeping classified documents while he was vice president, not president, vice president, big difference, is because he's so mentally incompetent. You know about that. But I want to start with a story. And trust me, there's definitely a purpose behind what I'm about to say relating to contemporary American politics. Last night, as I was watching YouTube, ever notice how like YouTube, you watch a 5-minute video and that leads to another 10-minute video and another 5-minute video. And next thing you know, if you're like me, 2 hours goes by. I'm like, wow, I could have been watching a movie or something. I just like 2 hours of YouTube, but I get to share it with my glorious audience. So I'm watching videos. One thing that always interests me, I have a lot of weird interest, is what it must have been like in Europe after World War II. Like, you know, you always hear the stories, the Germans surrendered, and you see the ticker tape parades of American soldiers coming home. But what a mess it must have been over in Europe, especially France and most importantly, Germany. Just the bombings and the fires. And I mean, you're talking about a country that at the time was a first world country in a cold, you know, a climate like the Midwest or the Northeast, where you need shelter, and there's no, you know, so much of the infrastructure, the electricity, the factories were blown up. What that must have been like. Of course, there's the famous saying, the rape of Berlin, because, you know, the Russian soldiers were so angry and so vengeful, rightfully so, when they got to Germany, because of what the Germans did when they were in Russia. So terrible things took place. And I always think, like, you know, what it must have been like to rebuild all that, what the quality of life must have been like, yada, yada. So I'm watching a video on that. And one thing I never knew is that when the Russian soldiers, and this is important, they came into Germany, they crossed the border, and they noticed how big German houses were and how nice the gardens were and how nice the German houses were constructed. How that a lot of them had big grandfather pianos. This was foreign to the Russians. And at first they thought, well, these must be the towns or the houses owned by the German barons that they'd always heard about. Well, as time went on, you go after town, and every house is the same. It started to dawn on them that this is how the Germans actually lived. And they were just stunned. They were angry. It really created a lot of animosity between them and the Russian leaders, because keep in mind that there's no freedom of information back. It became the Soviet Union. The Bolshevik Revolution was before 1920. So in 1945, the average Russian had been living under communism for a long time, and most of them couldn't read or write. And the education system was terrible. And of course, there's no information from the outside world. They just heard things and rumors and yada, yada. So this was, but most importantly of all, that's where I'm going with this for contemporary America. They had been fed the Marxist, Leninist idea of, you know, this was the way to go. You're going to see the fruits of your labor. You're not going to get screwed. There's not going to be any income inequality. Everything was free. That sounds familiar. Free housing, free medical care, free tuition, free food. Because the left will say, well, you know, Germany was socialist, so socialism can't be that bad. Yes, right. Germany was socialist at that time. The Nazis were socialists. The left will never tell you that. right? The Nazis were fascist socialists, but you could still own things. In the Soviet Union, and I know this is mind-blowing for the average American, especially the average, you know, 30 and under crowd in this country, who don't learn anything in school anymore, except for, you know, George Washington should have been wearing a dress, that in the Soviet Union, nobody owned anything. There was no private ownership of anything. It was pure communism. All right. So that was the deal. You don't own anything, but everything is provided for you by the state. And so this was sold to them as this great deal. Like I said, start going back to Marx and then through Lenin, that this was the answer to all of your life's problems. You're not going to get screwed anymore by the wealthy people. We're going to look out. We're going to have your back, yada, yada. So these poor Russians had the curtain dropped and they saw reality, and it was a lot for them psychologically, as you can imagine. And so as an American in 2024, it's easy to look at all this and say, well, wow, that's really sad for the Russians, and, you know, have kind of a sense of superiority, and thank God we know better now. But you have to ask yourself, in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things, are we veering more towards the Russian side or more towards the freedom side daily, weekly, monthly, yearly in this country? It's an important question. One side note, I remember hearing a story too, just to show you how much nothing really changed as far as the huge disparity between us and Russia for the following 50 years, because I remember reading about Boris Yeltsin, the first president of Russia, after the Soviet Union collapsed, went to an American grocery store, I think in Texas, with George H.W. Bush. It might have been Bill Clinton, but I think it was George H.W. Bush, before he was done being president of the United States. So they went to Yeltsin was visiting America, went into a grocery store in Texas. And once the story is that once he got back on the plane and there was no cameras or anything, he literally put his head between his legs and started crying after seeing what an American grocery store looks like. Again, he had started to see the fruit of the lies and deceptions of radical Marxist, Leninist, communist theories, philosophies, policies. He really started to see the depth of the fruit of those lies, the disparity as far as production, quality of life, quality of products, you name it. And so, again, I think it's dangerous to sit back and say, oh, that was back then, or those poor Russians. No. Look what the direction this country is going in. Look at the lies that are fed and the fruits of those lies just in the last 4 or 5 years since COVID. The lies about the vaccine. Look at the gender stuff. We talked about nonstop on here. The lies about gender equality. The lies about letting little children permanently change their genitals at 7, 8, 9 years old without parental consent. Those kids are going to wake up someday just like the Russians saying, what in the heck happened? How did you lie to me like that? The people, all the heart problems among young people who got the vaccine. Again, I'm not getting the vaccine debate, but the lie that it's not mandatory to take it, even though, you know, Jim Cramer from CNBC wanted the military to show up at people's houses, literally, and force them to take it. He went to Harvard Law School just to show you you can have all the law degrees until your brains are falling out. If you don't understand the essence, the spirit of this country, it doesn't matter. And he clearly does not. So people dropping dead, young people who should have never had the vaccine in the first place. I mean, 27-year-olds who were told it's not mandatory, but, oh, you can't go to your office building, you can't go to your gym, you can't go to your church, you can't travel, you can't do this, but no, it's not against the law. Poof, take the shot, heart problems are dead. All right, so there's fruits of all these lies. I was joking with someone the other day. For those of you maybe 40 and older, remember back in the 1980s, and it's the same group, it seems like. Doesn't it always seem like the same group? It's the vaccine, the gender stuff, climate change, and they're so militant about it. But eggs. Remember back in the 1980s, if you like touched an egg, you were going to die of a heart attack. Now, here's the thing. Here, the eggs have every amino acid available that we know about inside of them. Yet if you touch them, you would die. And they get so militant about it. So how many people should have had the fat and protein from eggs in their diet? Would have made their life easier, but it wasn't allowed. You had a bunch of militant lunatics pushing it down the throat. And here's the scariest part of all, and I really believe this. There's like a pathological lack of guilt when the truth comes out. That's the scariest part of all. I don't know about you, but if I find out I'm wrong about something and it has repercussions for other people, that doesn't make me feel too great. Anthony Fauci's probably somewhere right now with millions of dollars. He doesn't care about the repercussions of the vaccine. There's tons of health nuts from the ones who are stewing the egg thing. We're all in their 80s and 90s now. I don't think they care. And so I don't even think if you can bring Karl Marx back from the grave, because they're all part of the same philosophy, the same personality, the same character, if you will. You could probably bring Karl Marx back from the grave. I don't think he'd feel guilty about the mess that he has created. So this is why it's so important. We look at the Russians, they cross that border. All of a sudden, like I said, the curtain falls down. They see reality. They see they've been screwed. They see there's repercussions of the falsehoods that they've had shoved down their throat. And it's a very sad deal. But that is the history of human nature. And so before you and I think of ourselves as Democrats or Republicans or liberals or neoliberals or conservatives or libertarians or whatever, the bullseye, if you will, the bullseye has to be truth versus lies, light versus darkness. Hate to sound so dire, but I got to tell you right now, someone in North Korea right now, and there's many of them, peasant class people, where they found when they escaped to South Korea, they have a 12-inch tapeworm in their stomach, because in North Korea, they're so poor, they use human feces on their crops. I'm not making this up. That's darkness. And they're being fed a bed of lies. And what gives me up, so in all of this, what's always so important to fight against it, obviously, is rational, logical thinking, research, data, if it's not been manipulated, but the flow of information, the flow of free speech, so you can get both sides. And one of the biggest enemies in all this is self-deception. We can't, it's so important. I remember in the Bible, Jesus said, be careful in the, I think I should have looked it up before the show, but the light inside of you, because it might be darkness. We can deceive ourselves. That's what the Puritans used to talk about, was step one is your own self-examination. So you're not deceiving yourself, because the human mind and ego is constructed in a way where we can be deceiving ourselves, right? And that's not good. So it can't come from self-righteousness. It can't come from projecting on other people. You have to start with facing the truth. But we have so much more empirical information now than they did 70, 80 years ago. It's like Charles Krauthammer used to say on Fox News, because he was an avowed socialist as a young man. And what made him change? Well, he was a medical doctor. And he said, I looked at the empirical data, America versus Europe, which was a social welfare state. It's like two patients. If the medicine is killing the patient, you have to stop the medicine. And that's what made him started the process of him becoming one of the greatest conservative thinkers and influencers of all time. And we have that data now. I mean, as much as I can't stand Karl Marx, and you might want to check out my last podcast, while Karl Marx is a total loser, they didn't even have that information back then, in the early 19-teens. Everything was a mercantile age. They knew monarchies where there really was corruption and people really were abused. Believe it or not, the Tsar of Russia at the time of the Russian Revolution was wealthier than the European monarchs. I didn't realize that, but it makes sense, because he owned all the mines, and Russia is so rich in resources that if you're the guy that owns that, then, I mean, there's just no limit to the money, right? So, and if you would have just shared that, or used that to invest in his own country, I guess share is the wrong word. I mean, if we're conservatives, right-wing people, we know the absolute disaster you can create by just willy-nilly throwing money at people. That is not the financially, economically, or spiritual right thing to do, but at least invest in the country, things could have turned out a lot differently. So that was the framework at the time. I get it. It was very lopsided. But to say We're just going to throw away all private property ownership. We're not going to have any freedom of speech. We're not going to have real elections just because the wealth inequality is out of control. It was complete foolishness, but they didn't know better. We know better now. There is no excuse. We know that we live in a country where people literally die in deserts and oceans to get into. While at the same time, those philosophies that those Russian soldiers were subject to, those are the countries that everybody to this day can't get out of fast enough. So it is, there are repercussions to this. It is. And if you're a person of faith, you know, well, then if there's a God and it's a good God, then there must be certain systems, certain philosophies, albeit not perfect, just like people aren't perfect. But if they at least lead to a higher quality of life, then that should, just based on common sense, which is a dirty word when you talk to left-wing people, that should be the way, you know, that should be the direction that we set our compass to, at least despite all of our flaws and everything else, attempt to go in that direction. But with the left, you can't even get that done. You can't even get, that's what's so aggravating. So again, lies versus falsehood, darkness versus light, there are real repercussions. You know, now, one last thing before I end the segment, what really triggered me, you tell I'm a little triggered, when I was watching the video about the Russians and Germans, just a couple of weeks ago, I saw a story in the Wall Street Journal about, you know, new home building is exploding right now in this country. It has to, because there's such a lack of inventory for existing home sales. And there's a lot of interesting reasons behind that. But the bottom line is, I read that the new home plans being built by builders are much, surprise, surprise, smaller than they used to be. Now, in the 1990s and the early 2000s, we had the concept of the McMansions, that things got out of control. Money was cheap. Middle-class people were building 3,000 square foot houses. I know I'm in home improvement. Those same people, the same people who bought those houses, when they need a roof, windows, new flooring, whatever, they're just aghast at how much it all costs. Well, there you go. I mean, you bought the 3,000 square foot house, right? Excuse me. So that might have been overkill, but I just think it's outrageous in a country with millions of acres of free land, not financially free, but just open, in a country swimming in oil, with a country swimming in timber. Because if you think about it, what do you need for a house? For the most part, land and wood, of course, and then so much of the products that go into a house. The vinyl siding, the PVC plumbing, the if you go with the shingle roof, the asphalt comes from oil. So you're making up a decent percentage of the house, a very big percentage of the house, just with those things we have here in this country. Then why is a country like that, with that many resources, shrinking the floor plans for houses for hardworking middle-class people when there's no excuse for it? There's no excuse for it. Well, of course, because of the manipulated money supply, because of inflation, because of environmental regulations, yada, yada, yada. So that's the real reason for it. And it's outrageous. If we were an island nation, if we were Taiwan, it was 2/3 mountains, I'd say, yeah, we got a serious problem here. You can only go up or build something on the ocean or whatever. If it was Hong Kong, same thing. Or Israel, where you're just trapped. There is no excuse for that. I mean, that to me, that's Russia light. If you want to think about it that way, I mean, those soldiers, obviously, they lived in dumps, little apartments, and they saw the big German houses. So it might not be as bad, but it's getting pretty close. Why? Because it's all based on a foundation of lies, and there's repercussions, unnecessary repercussions to it. So it's really something to think about, that we are not who we think we are. And on a daily basis, in my opinion, and probably the opinion of many of you, we are skewing the ship towards that Russian side. And a lot of, you know, smirkers and laughers, as I always call them, on the left would say, oh my God, hey, you know what? It's an insidious process. It's an insidious process. It's not like we're going to wake up one day, you know, go to bed on Monday and Tuesday, everything's changed. No, it's what it is month after month, year after year, through legislation, through Hollywood, through the media, through education systems, the things we always talk about, those lies get ingrained. As I always say on here, culture is such a powerful word. Why? Because that's how you establish your norms. So you literally don't know any different because that's the norm. I mean, I use the phrase people think it's funny, look in their, some of their white redneck culture. I call it the redneck black hole, and where everybody you know does $1,000 a month in beer, cigarettes, marijuana, and scratch-offs, and then everybody's broke, and everybody shrugs, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. And you see certain attributes like that in other cultures, the black culture as well. Yeah, but just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's a smart, intelligent idea that will lead to good benefits, which is what we should want for ourselves and everybody around us in our society and our country.